If you were here last week, I asked you to picture yourself running your finger under the faucet, waiting for the water to heat up. And I said, not long ago, any running water would have been a luxury, let alone hot water. And today, I want you to imagine yourself walking alone at night. Now let's say there's a power failure, so the street lights are out. There's no lights from other houses. You're alone. You don't have your phone with you, so you don't have its built-in flashlight on it. That's what people, up until 150 years ago, had to deal with every night. Now imagine in that darkness that it's also cloudy. So there's no moon or stars to give you any light. And then a little ways away, you see a flicker of light from a house, presumably, and it gives you some hope. It brings some fear, some trepidation too, but mostly hope. And you head towards it, and you see indeed that it is a lamp in the window on a lampstand. That light indicates that you are not alone in the darkness, that there is some life. There's maybe some help, some shelter, some warmth, or maybe just hope in the darkness. That's why Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. That is who we're meant to be. We are meant to be a sign of hope. And he reminds us that no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all. Over the next little while, I want to speak about values. More specifically, I want to talk about the values which are our parish's values. And in some cases, those values that we aspire to as a church. This isn't going to be exactly a preaching series over the next little while, but from now until about Easter, when the readings correspond to one of those values, I'm going to take the opportunity to speak about them. Over the past year or so, the leadership team and I have really been working and thinking and praying and debating, and we've identified the values that we want to live out as a church. We've come up with six. And one of those values is being outward focused in everything we do. And that's the one I want to talk about today. But first of all, let's take a step back and think about why we need to define our values at all. Values, to me, are like the banks of a river. They actually guide and direct the river as it moves towards its ultimate destination, the ocean. But at the same time, if you realize, you have to think about it, but the riverbanks are actually formed by that river. They're formed over time. But the riverbanks guide it, but they're also formed by the river. And values in a church, well, they guide and direct our parish as we move towards our ultimate goal, making disciples of all nations. But our values are also formed over time by our culture. Our values aren't things that we do. They are the ways in which we do everything. I'll give you an example. If we take the Nicene Creed, this is when we profess our core beliefs as Christians. You can't have anything more insidery than that. That time in the Mass when we profess what it is fundamentally that we believe in, that is as insider as it gets. Yet, we put it on the screens, we put up the Nicene Creed on the screens as we go through it, because we don't assume that everyone knows it by heart. And for the last little while, if you've been here for a while, you've noticed that I introduce it by saying, if your faith makes you ready, join with me in professing the Nicene Creed. In that little line, I'm telling a guest or someone new, it's okay if you're not ready to believe everything we do right now. I'm also reminding our members that new people might just be with us that day. And we're not changing anything in that creed. We just do it in a way where we acknowledge there might be new people there. There might not be insiders with us. So even something as inward focused and as the Nicene Creed can be done in a way that makes it a little bit more outward focused. And so naming those values that we have helps us to identify and evaluate how well we're doing in living them out. They hold us accountable and set standards for how we do the things that we're doing. They give us focus, they help clarify what you can expect from me, from our staff, from the things we do. But they also help clarify what we expect our culture to look like. And all of us are responsible for the culture that we have at St. Ignatius. And so clarity around our culture is important. Otherwise, how can we ask people to take ownership of that? How can we foster a healthy culture if it isn't clear what it consists of? So I think it's important to identify our riverbanks. That's why I want to spend some time on these values. And we'll begin with that one being outward focused. And I'll start there because, well, I think it's a big part of what Jesus means when he says, let your light shine before others. Light is meant for all to see. You may turn on a light in your home, but you can't contain or limit that light very easily. You know, I'm sure there's been evenings in when you, if you're a couple and you're lying in bed and one of you wants to read and keeps the light on, it makes it awfully hard for the other one to get to sleep. You know that the light isn't meant to be contained. It's meant to be outward focused. And our faith is the same way. It's meant to be outward focused. The joy that we have in encountering the Lord is meant to be outward focused. It cannot be contained. Today's gospel is part of what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it contains much of Jesus' teaching. More and more people were coming to see this man, and the crowd got so big that he went up the side of a hill so that everyone could see him and that he could preach and everyone would hear. This is an actual photo from 2,000 years ago. I found it. The archaeologists just dug it up. Jesus wants everyone to be able to come and see and encounter. He doesn't want to turn people away. And in this Sermon on the Mount, we see that he makes accommodations to ensure that people would be able to see and hear him. Jesus is being outward focused. He isn't just telling a few of his disciples, hey, you have to be a city on a hill, a light for all to see. He's giving them a real-time example of what it means to be outward focused. He does what's necessary to be heard and accessible. Today, 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years later, we have a few advantages over Jesus. We have microphones and video screens and all sorts of technology that allow us to reach more people. For instance, all of this, what I'm saying right now, is being recorded. So even if you're not here, you can listen to the recorded homilies on our website. None of that tech was available 150 years ago, let alone when Jesus was preaching. And so we use what we have to be outward focused. The screens with all the indications of the responses of when to sit and stand, all that is meant to make Mass easier to participate in. It's meant to break down barriers. Because let's face it, the Mass can be kind of mysterious to those who haven't been in a long time, or ever, for that matter. Another advantage is that we have a place to invite people to. We have a building that stands out. So making sure that there is good signage, that things are clean and well-maintained, that we have a beautiful, accessible space, that's part of creating a welcoming environment. That's part of being outward-focused. We have greeters at the 11 o'clock Mass in order to welcome people as they come in. That's why I asked Kevin and JR, seminarians, to go greet people at the other Masses too. We want people to be welcomed as they come in. We want new people to be welcomed as they come in. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, we had another one of our seminarians, Jacques. He was here, and one weekend we sent him to an evangelical church to check out the welcome and the hospitality that they were doing. And I remember Jacques telling me that before he actually went into this church, he got close to it, and he's getting all nervous and anxious about going into this evangelical church. He'd never been in one. He didn't know what to expect. So he circled the whole block once, because he went by it, and he just went around. And he comes back in, and when he walked up the stairs, somebody, a greeter, came to welcome him. And she explained what the service, a little bit of what the service was going to be like. She took him in, showed him where he could sit. And it relieved so much of the anxiety that he was feeling. And when he came back to St. Ignatius, he appreciated so much more the role that greeters have in our church. And similarly, when we offer coffee after Mass, it gives people a chance to connect and to share their faith a bit, and it gives me an opportunity to speak to anyone who may be new here. I really consider it my main job at the end of Mass to seek out anyone who might be here for the first time, to introduce myself, to help people feel welcome, to answer any questions they might have. Now, I don't know everyone in the church, and I've made the mistake of asking someone, oh, is it your first time here? And being embarrassed because they've been coming for quite some time. Well, I'd rather have to apologize sheepishly than have people feel that no one cares, that no one's bothered to welcome them. So that time after Mass is crucial to me. I don't think it's the time to talk to my friends or people who've been here for years who know how to get hold of me through email or a phone call. That's the time when I try and be as outward focused as possible. And we want everything we do, be it Mass here on Sunday or our Alpha on Saturday mornings that has childcare, we want everything to be more accessible, less intimidating, to have fewer barriers to entry, and to always assume that there are new people here. I try awfully hard to make sure my homilies don't have insider language that only a lifelong Catholic would understand. It's why when I said I talked about the Nicene Creed in my homily, but I explained what it was. It's the core values that we profess. Because just saying Nicene Creed, 30% of you would know what I'm talking about. I try in my homilies to always announce the good news of salvation through Jesus. And being outward focused is why I don't say something like at the beginning of Mass, oh, it's prayer partner time, find somebody nearby, you know what to do. I explain it every time because I assume there's someone new here every time. Jesus was outward focused. That's how he preached. So that's one of the values we want to be part of our culture. That's how we are going to fulfill our mission to go and make disciples of all nations, or at least of our entire city. We crafted a question around that outward focused values that we want to ask ourselves all the time. How have I allowed my comfort or preferences to keep me from reaching those who Jesus asked me to reach? In what way, I'll ask you, are your preferences hampering you, or preventing you from reaching out, from inviting, from welcoming? In what way are you choosing to stay in your comfort zone rather than let your light shine before others? We cannot be a lamp hidden under a bushel basket. We need to be a light for all to see, a city on a hill, not just because Jesus asks us to, not just because it's how we're going to grow and increase our numbers, not even because it allows us to fulfill our mission to go and make disciples of all nations. We need to be a light for all to see, because there are so many people who need that light. There are so many people living in darkness. That light has to be seen, has to be in the window for everyone to see. It needs to be warm, radiant, welcoming, joyful. So many of your family, your colleagues, your neighbors, you know this, they live in darkness. They live in despair. They're wandering around in the dark, and they need a light in the window to spark some hope, to help them find their way home. And it has to feel like home when they approach us, not some intimidating place with high barriers to entry. We cannot let anything, certainly not our own personal preferences, not our own comfort, prevent us from letting our light shine, from having our joy radiate, for having the good news of Jesus Christ's saving, healing, and restoring power reach the entire city. Your friends, your family, they're too important. They're too important to be left in the dark. They're too important to you, and they're too important to God.